It's time now for the Bible Truth Broadcast with Dr. Ron Reynolds, pastor and Bible teacher. Listen now as Dr. Reynolds teaches the eternal truths of God's Word, the Bible.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another Bible Truth Broadcast with Pastors Ron and Tim Reynolds. Listen now as they preach the eternal truths of God's Word, the Bible.
Well, good morning, friends. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Bible Truth Broadcast this morning. This is Pastor Tim Reynolds, and I thank you so much for listening and supporting us on the Bible Truth Broadcast each week. I did want to let you know that we are extending our early enrollment offer at Mount Vernon Christian School through the first week of April. So you still have time if you would like to have information regarding Mount Vernon Christian School. We're going to extend our early enrollment period through April the 8th. Mount Vernon Christian School offers grades preschool all the way through 4 years of high school. So if you'd like information on the school, you can give us a call at 244-5404, or you can visit us on the internet at www.mountvernonchristian.com. Well, I'm going to begin a series for the next few weeks titled Traveling Light, letting go of some of the baggage that we tend to carry in life. And we're going to start this morning looking at the luggage of life. Now, the text will be found in Psalms 23, probably the most familiar passage in all of God's Word. Psalms 23 and verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, you may know someone or even live with someone who, when you get ready to pack for an overnight trip, they pack like they're leaving for a month. Do you know somebody like that? You know, rather than just packing a simple duffel bag, they'll take five or six bags. Some people will take cold weather clothes in case it gets cold, warm weather clothes in case that it's warm. They'll take their nice shoes, their tennis shoes, their sandals, pack snacks and drinks, and kind of overdo it when it comes to the luggage. Well, you know, people do that in life. People carry a lot of extra baggage in life that really they should let go, and we're all guilty of it. We pile on this extra baggage, and we'll even make comments like, "He's got a lot of baggage," or "She's carrying a lot of baggage." You know, it's kind of like two people that enter a marriage. He enters the marriage carrying his baggage, and he thinks, "Boy, now I finally found a woman who understands me. Somebody to help me carry all of this baggage, and she'll be a great help to me." At the same time, she's coming into the marriage, and she's saying, "Well, I finally found a man who will listen to me, a man who's sensitive and can fix all of my problems." And so what you end up with, he brings his baggage to the marriage, she brings her baggage, and rather than carrying the other person's baggage, now you've just got a whole room full of baggage, a whole room full of luggage, and that happens oftentimes in life. The fact is, everyone in life is packing around some kind of baggage. Your spouse is carrying baggage. Your parents, your children, your boss, your preacher. We all are carrying baggage. Now, we're going to be looking at two pieces of baggage this morning. First of all, we're going to look at the baggage of self-dependence. In the verse that I just read to you, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, a shepherd is a leader. Most of our problems stem from our deciding that we are going to do the leading. Whenever we get to thinking we're the leader and we're the master of our domain, that we're going to be able to make all the right calls and right decisions in life, rather than let the Lord do the leading, we're asking for trouble. Some people are self-dependent regarding salvation. Listen, please, to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. The Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." The person that refuses to be led by the Lord regarding salvation, maybe they think they can find salvation on their own by doing good deeds or by giving to the poor or some other way. There is no other way to heaven, though, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You can't add to your salvation with baptism. You can't add to your salvation through good works, through your church membership. All those things are good things to do, but that's doing your own leading when you want to add those to salvation. Jesus Christ is the leader. He's the shepherd. In John chapter 10, Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says in chapter 10 of the book of John, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and we should depend on him regarding our salvation. And then some are self-dependent regarding supply. In the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, the Bible says, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, we're all guilty, and I think men are especially guilty of this. We think we'll handle our own problems. We'll supply for ourselves. We get the idea that I can handle this problem, or I'll figure my way out of this problem, and I'll fix my marriage, or I'll work harder to make more money. And so we think we're going to do all these things to supply our needs. And, you know, sometimes I think God says, well, buddy, you go right ahead and do that. You go right ahead and try to solve all your problems and fix everything, and I'll just kind of sit back here and watch. When what we really need to do is first go to God and say, God, you're the one to supply this. You're the one that can fix my marriage. You're the one that can solve my financial problems, and look to him to lead. But I'm afraid some of us get too dependent upon ourselves. And then there's the baggage of discontent. In that verse in Psalms 23 and verse 1, the Bible says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, many people live in the prison of want in 2011. And you know what's funny is most people just want one thing. They think if I have just one new job, if I change jobs, that one new job will fix me up, buddy, and I'll have it made and everything will be great. Or one new car. You know, if I just had a new car, then I would be set. Everything would be better. Or one bigger home, or one better spouse. If I just had a different spouse that understood me and everything, then my life would be complete. And so people are looking to find contentment, but most people today, sad to say, are discontented. We call it the new car smell syndrome. You know how it is when you go to a car lot to look for a new car, and boy, you get in the thing and it smells so good. It has that new car smell. It's all clean. There's no dust in the vents, and the dash is clean, and there's no dirt on the floor mats, and boy, it's just brand new. And you think, boy, that's a whole lot better than the car that I've got. And so we'll buy something, you know, and pretty soon that new smell passes. And if you're like our family, before long, the McDonald's cup starts piling up, and the toys and the clothes and the trash. And pretty soon, that brand new car now is an old car. And it's dusty, and the oil needs change, and the tires are going bad. But we're so discontented with what we have right now, we think, boy, if I just have something new. But pretty soon, that new thing wears out. You find out that the new job isn't so perfect. You find out that the new home you get, boy, if I just had a brand new home. Pretty soon that brand new home needs painting, the gutters need replaced, it gets dirty, and so those new things pass. A person that thinks, if I have a new spouse, so they get a divorce and they marry the next person, and pretty soon they find out that new spouse has got bad habits just like the old spouse did. And so we need to learn to be content. Now, there's two biblical truths regarding the baggage of discontent. First of all, we need to realize this, that our stuff isn't ours. Let me say that again. Our stuff, those things that we claim that are ours, our car, our house, our clothing, our stuff really doesn't belong to us. Listen, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 15. Solomon says, as man came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor. What that means is when we are born into this world, we come in without anything. And when we leave this world, we go out empty-handed. Someone has said when we're born into this world, we're born with clenched fists. We've got our fists closed. And whenever we leave this world, we die with our hands wide open. There's nothing we can take with us. Someone asked John D. Rockefeller's accountant how much money he left behind. You know what he said? His reply was, he left all of it. He left all of it behind. No matter how many millions Rockefeller made, no matter how many houses and cars, it was all left behind. And so we must realize, first of all, our stuff is simply on loan from God. You're going to leave your stuff behind. I'm going to leave my stuff behind to my children or someone else. Someone else is going to have that home that you put so much of your life into. Somebody else is going to take your job one of these days when you retire. And so these things we must realize aren't ours. And then secondly, we need to realize that our stuff isn't us. Your stuff isn't you. Your stuff does not define who you are. In the book of Luke, chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." So see, other people are impressed. You know, people are impressed by the cars that we drive. You know, if you drive a Lexus or a Cadillac, boy, that really impresses people. Or if you wear a certain kind of clothes and people will look and say, boy, that's a successful person. People are impressed with those things. But listen, that doesn't impress God at all. God's not impressed with our cars. He's not impressed with our homes. He's not impressed with our clothing. These things don't impress God. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, you have the story of Nathan coming Samuel coming to anoint David as the king of Israel. But he looks at all of David's brothers, and they all look like they were fit to be the king. They were all older and bigger, and so Samuel comes, and the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 16, verse 6, it came to pass when they were come that Samuel looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And eventually Samuel went through all of these brothers, and finally here comes David. David had been out keeping sheep, and the Bible tells us he was a young man, ruddy looking. He was rough in appearance. And yet as soon as Samuel saw him, the Lord said, "That's the one. That's the one right there that I'm going to use." So let's not be impressed by these outward things. Our stuff does not define us. Whether we live in a mansion or we live in a shack, our thing should not define who we are. I like what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. Paul says this. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Paul said, "I learned to be content." Contentment does not come naturally. We are naturally discontented. We naturally want better things and bigger things, especially when we see someone else have something we don't have. It's easy to become discontented. But Paul said, I've learned to be content, no matter when things are good, no matter when things are bad, no matter when I've got a lot of money or whether I've got a little money, I'm going to be content. I'll leave you with this story. A short-term missionary visited the island of Tobago. On his final day, he was leading worship in a leper colony. He asked if anyone in the leper colony had a favorite song. Suddenly, a woman turned around and he saw the most disfigured face that he had ever seen. She had no ears and no nose. Her lips were gone. She raised a fingerless hand and asked, "Could we sing Count Your Blessings?" The missionary started the song but couldn't finish it. Someone later commented to the missionary, "I suppose you'll never be able to sing that song again." Now listen to his reply. The missionary answered, "No, I'll sing Count Your Blessings again. I'll just never sing it in the same way." So, you know, sometimes when we get discontented, it's good for us to see someone who maybe has it worse than we do, and suddenly that will help us to drop the baggage of discontentment. Well, I pray that the message was an encouragement and a help to you this morning. We'll be looking at Psalms 23 for the next several weeks, talking about letting go of some of the baggage that we tend to carry in life. And I pray that you can turn in each week to the Bible Truth broadcast. Well, thank you so much for listening, and on behalf of my dad and myself, let me say how much we do appreciate your support and your financial support for the Bible Truth broadcast each week. We would not be able to continue on the air were it not for the faithfulness of the folks who do support the Bible Truth broadcast, and we want to say how much we thank you and appreciate that for supporting us. Well, be in God's house somewhere this morning. Let me encourage you to do that, and we look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, this is Pastor Tim Reynolds saying, may God bless you, is my prayer.
Thank you so much for tuning in the Bible Truth broadcast today. If you believe in what Pastors Ron and Tim Reynolds are preaching, please consider becoming their radio partner. Help them get the truths of God's Word to this generation. Just send any size offering to Bible Truth Broadcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for your help. Until next Sunday, may God bless you is our prayer.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bible Truth Broadcast today. If you would like to be a Bible Truth Broadcast radio partner to help spread God's Word to Southern Illinois and the surrounding area, you may send your gift to the Bible Truth Broadcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.